Hey guys, and welcome to today's podcast. We're going to go into a coffee chat that me and Vanessa did yesterday. So this is our first ever one, so bear with us. It is a starting point. I know the audio could be a bit better. The next one will be a bit better. But in this conversation, we talk about self-esteem when it comes to confidence and where it starts in a dyslexic's life, some of the challenges we have found, and why a lot of adults are dealing with problems later in life and where they all started from. So let's get straight into it. I hope you enjoy it. Okay, welcome to the podcast. This is our first ever coffee break. We're going to see how this goes, so bear with us. I have Vanessa sitting across from me.
Hello.
And we're going to talk today, again, keeping in focus around the confidence topic. We're going to look at how self-esteem and confidence affects the average dyslexic. You know, myself, and I'm going to probably speak for Vanessa here, is that I've always dealt with self-confidence issues and self-esteem issues. You know, what about yourself, Vanessa?
Yeah, I think most dyslexics have and do. And to me, what I see is that the first place where we learn our value is really in school. When we go to school, that's the first time that we start getting compared to others. You know, school ranks you. And even though school today is much better, everybody knows the dumb reading group. You know, everybody knows who's top of the class. Everybody knows who's bottom. And I think a lot of our self-confidence and self-esteem issues actually go back to then, because that's the first time that we start comparing. And if you look at how dyslexics are in school, then we can really struggle. And that seeds a very deep-seated belief that we aren't as clever, we aren't as confident, we aren't as intelligent. That would be my experience.
And I think you're right there. Like, you think about school, like what I always remember is I've had friends who were very late diagnosed, and their belief in themselves was, I am stupid. You know, that's what they were told. They weren't diagnosed. And this is the big thing about dyslexia, is the actual diagnosis process has been a continually improving process for years. You know, you think back to, you know, when I was young, it was only just coming in. Like, I always remember my mother saying she was so happy that we lived overseas, because at a private school, they had educational psychologists that came in, which was unheard of in New Zealand, where we are. You know, it just didn't exist. So I was very blessed to do that. But a very close friend wasn't, and he didn't have a clue until it was quite obvious later in life. You know, and I guess even now, you know, there must be hard for them to work out exactly how many people have dyslexia.
Yeah. And, you know, my experience was, I was never diagnosed with dyslexia. My schooling wasn't particularly difficult. I didn't not achieve at school, but I was never confident in my own abilities. Because, you know, that part of dyslexia, some days you can get it and some days you can't. So while I didn't massively struggle in school, I was never confident that I had the knowledge. And that's what it starts building. And I think that's why the self-confidence issue goes back that far, is really you just can't rely on your own knowledge. You just know that everybody else seems to be getting this really easily and you're really finding it difficult. So it presents as self-confidence later on in adults, but I do really believe that's where it starts. It's that first time where we start comparing ourselves to others, and other people can do it easily and you can't.
Didn't you hate those people that just never seemed to show up to class, but would walk into an exam and just nail it every time? You know, we all know those people. You know, I always remember a guy called Chris, this tall, lanky guy, and I swear he just messed around all day, didn't look like he was listening to anything. He'd come in and get 98% on every test. And I was so, you know, just so angry at that. It was so annoying. And it's like, that does hurt your confidence. You know, it does drop your belief.
Yeah.
which is cool.
And really, you know, that's the school system is test your memory.
Mm.
You know, but it tests your memories of things that dyslexics potentially aren't that good at remembering. So yeah, I think it's very difficult to say it's just one thing, and everybody's experiences are different.
Mm.
But I think if you look at that real core, the beginning of our self-confidence and self-awareness is just that whole comparison that we get at school, and everybody needs to be in, you know, a square box, and dyslexics usually don't fit into that box. So I do believe it's behind a lot of our self-confidence and self-esteem issues.
Yeah.
That and the number of mistakes we make, but that's probably another conversation.
Yeah, that's another coffee conversation. Like I always think back to the other thing that just popped into my head, you know, with dyslexia being so poorly recognized years and years ago. You know, a lot of our parents, because dyslexia is hereditary, it's a family thing.
Mm.
A lot of our parents were not diagnosed, so they didn't know they had it. They had no clue. Like my dad, no clue at all, but his behavior is the most dyslexic thing I've ever seen in hindsight. But I didn't know that at the time. And we just thought he was weird and he was socially awkward. And, you know, one day he'd be the best social person out. You know, you'd take him out for a drink and he'd be the life of the party. The next time he would just be an introverted mess.
Mm.
And it's like, we didn't know what that was. It caused social issues with my parents, heaps of stuff. And they could never truly support me in that way because, you know, he was unaware of what his challenges were.
Mm.
And because he was so unaware, he just thought I was the one with a problem or a challenge in life, and he cared about me for that, but couldn't empathize because he didn't think he had it.
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's
And that is true. You know, our knowledge of what dyslexia is has grown so much. And I was amazed when I moved back to New Zealand. I thought there'd be dyslexic schools here. I thought it would be really well known. There was nothing, you know, and that's not true. There is some support systems in school, but you know, they really only recognize dyslexia in 2007 here in New Zealand.
Really?
Which is really, really late, you know. And
2007.
Yeah. And I am now going to put a disclaimer in to think I will have to double check that because with my dyslexic memory,
yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it was 2007.
Well, it's still pretty late. Anything with a 2000 in front of it is pretty ridiculous.
And, you know, you look, it is hereditary, and families have always had, oh, well, so-and-so was just a really good mechanic. You know, he didn't do well at school, but he was a good mechanic. Oh, you know, my uncle was a great builder, you know, dropped out at school at 15, but runs a successful business. There didn't used to be so much onus on people getting qualifications from school, and that shifted. You know, 150 years ago, you know, your place in society might have been that you were a really good saddle maker. You know, that's what your role was, and your son was a really good saddle maker, and that was valued. And I just think with the changes in society, that's what's happened, is we've shifted the focus from recognizing people for their talents, even if they aren't academic, to everybody goes to university, everybody gets a degree. Unless you get these academic qualifications, you're not clever. And I think that's part of what's happened, this shift away from the more practical, the more hands-on trades, really.
Yeah, it's like you were saying before, ranking.
Mm.
You know, it's really become, it's like the world has gotten so big, the only way we can judge people is by ranking them, because otherwise it would just take too much time. And it's instead of what they can do. And you know, if you ever watch YouTube, you know, the creators on YouTube, majority of them, you know, would fit in the dyslexic mold,
yeah.
A good number of them.
Yeah.
The creativity, the amazing stuff they're doing, you know, some of the millions of dollars they're making for the world is just remarkable in how it's driven.
Yeah. And it really is, you know, Albert Einstein's got a great quote, everybody is a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, then it will feel stupid its whole life.
Yeah, and it's so true.
And that's what the school system does. The school system really has one set of criteria that they are measuring you against. And if your skills and talents aren't in that criteria, then you come out believing that you're less than you're stupid, than you can't achieve. And really, it's just so not true.
It just and that builds on top of each other, and it starts you off on a bad foundation of confidence, self-esteem, the way you work. Thank you so much for this talk, Vanessa. We'll wrap it up now. I think we're due another cup of coffee.
Absolutely. And coffee fixes everything.
Yeah, we'll try and do this every week or two. We'll get better. So I hope you've enjoyed this first one. If you have, make sure you reach out. And thank you for being involved.